What the fuck is up, duelists? Welcome to Pot of Greed, the only Yu-Gi-Oh! Podcast sponsored by KaivaCorp. I am your host, as always, Dan, and I'm about to, I want to let you know, don't forget the Joker.
Okay. I'm Audrey, aka you know he had to do it to him.
Fuck this will you! Come. God damn it! God damn it! Fuck.
I knew you're gonna do it.
Audrey's gonna come in fast and fucking cut me off. I'm Max. You know I'd do it to him. Whatever. Who gives a shit anymore?
I'm all right. We
nothing lucky about this, Luciano.
Uh-huh.
Except that Lua literally has the line about him being lucky.
He's literally lucky. He literally had to do it to her.
He's literally lucky, uh-huh. Luciano.
I'm very curious. I think there might be a little bit of differences between the sub and the dove in this one.
No.
I guess probably in names, for sure.
Well, I was telling Dan earlier, like, there's no reason why these guys need to be named after the three tenors, but it's sad that Four Kids had to change that.
I don't know if there is a theme that I'm just not getting.
Lester,
but,
Jacob, and Primo? I don't think so.
Yeah. Yeah, for the record, the guy wearing a shower curtain is Jacob, or is Primo.
That's
Primo,
okay.
I think. Let me think.
Okay, so the big one's Jose.
The big one's Jacob.
Okay, the medium one is...
That's Primo.
Fuck, what is he in the sub, Audrey?
Oh, I don't know. I was so focused, laser focused on Lucky Luciano that I couldn't even think about it.
Luciano Pavarotti.
I also didn't realize that it was the three tenors.
Uh-huh.
His name is Placido.
Yes, it is Placido.
Named after Placido Domingo, and then this is Luciano.
And the other one's,
of course, little
one. The little guy wearing the shower curtain is Lester.
Okay, God. These guys are cool. I like them. I think they're funny.
I'm interested in what their deal is. They're like, honestly, they kind of give me like Sailor Moon villain vibes.
They do. They're very much of like, they come from somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. Weird ethereal beings who just like meddling.
Speaking of weird, we're watching Yu-Gi-Oh! 5Ds.
Mm-hmm.
This is episode...
Incredible transition.
I'm so good, Adam. This is episode 77. Super Elite Transfer Student Arrives.
Season 2, Episode 13, Dawn of the Duel Board, Part 1.
Oh man, I don't think we're ever going to see the Duel Board again.
I hope we do, it's great.
Yeah,
I
mean, Dawn and also Sunset of the Duel Board.
eclipse of the Duel Board. Although, I mean, Lua can't be driving. Lua and Luca are 12 years old, so like, I guess this is the way that lets them do riding duels.
It is, uh-huh. I will say, like, it is pretty cool.
It's okay, like, conceptually, it's cool as hell.
Like, it conceptually, it's a really good idea. I have to give it to the 5Ds guys, uh-huh, on that one.
You get to do fucking vert tricks while you duel. That's sick as hell.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, fuck. It's good. Yeah.
We start on a designated duel track with Yusei dueling Aki to sort of get her adjusted to... Turbo duels. I have to say, she looks good. She looks good in the suit and on the D-wheeler. Like, it's nice to see her there.
She's cool. She's literally cool. She takes a big hit, like, directly and loses, like, 2,500 life points. And, like, she's, like, kind of wobbling and, like, trying to regain control. And Yusei yells, "You just have to trust your D-wheel." And she kind of does and just kind of, like, loosens up a little bit and then is able to drive better. This is not applicable to real life. If you lose control of your car, you don't, I trust my car, and just kind of like...
Uh-huh.
Okay, but that's a car, not a motorcycle.
Yeah, it's true.
What
is a car but two motorcycles?
A motorcycle is a wild animal, you see. That's a horse to me.
A motorcycle is riding a motorcycle is a much closer and more intimate experience than riding a car.
Which I guess makes a skateboard like a guinea pig.
Sure. Yeah.
A smaller animal, for sure.
No, it's like a skateboard is like a miniature pony or whatever. Mm-hmm. You can still ride it, but there are limits.
You can still ride it, but it's...
You can ride it.
Wait, can
once.
You ride a miniature pony? I guess kids,
like, children can.
Yeah.
Children can, and Luca and Lua are children, so...
That's true. Lua wants to do a riding duel, and Luca laughs at him, saying, "Huh, you wouldn't look good doing that." And also, he's 12.
He's 12. He can't drive.
Like, maybe if Yu-Gi-Oh! 5Ds was set in, like, Ohio, and he was, like, one of them kids who's allowed to drive the tractor around. Not like this, though.
What's the worst that could happen?
Hey, do you guys remember Kingdom Hearts 2?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the deal? How come Iliaster has the Organization 13 shares?
They've got Organization 13 chairs, and they're also just sort of, like, hanging out in a cyber zone.
Yeah, what's the deal?
Okay, I will say that I have not spent as much time with these guys as the two of you have, because I missed a bunch of the episodes where they were.
To be fair, this episode is the most time we spent with them.
Yeah. I'm just saying that I don't... If I say something that has, like, come up before... Sorry.
That's never happened in the history of our podcast, but go on.
It's true. We've done an incredible number. We've spent 5 years doing this and hundreds of episodes and have never repeated a single thing.
Never once.
Especially not me.
I mean, all of us. Really, truly. I had a fucking catchphrase. Don't forget, I was like a pull string doll. I really like the wordplay here that they're working with circuit.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Is this the first time we're getting this concept? Okay, cool. Great. So they are all talking about their evil plan. They're disappointed that the Crimson Dragon or whatever wasn't like summoned between Yusei and Aki dueling, even though they're both signers.
I don't think it's that the Crimson Dragon was something, because they talk later that they don't like the Crimson Dragon. I think it was more that like their signer powers didn't like activate, their arms didn't.
Yeah, there wasn't enough momentum or whatever.
Yeah, they didn't get enough
enough moment going on. But beyond that, they're talking about their evil plan, and they're like, yeah. Once like the Grand Prix happens, like here's the Grand Prix circuit, which is, you know, the way you talk about tracks in racing, right? It's a circuit. It is a literal circuit like a computer as well. Huh. And they are showing all of these tracks, and they are saying that like once these tracks are ridden on in duels with signers, it will complete an actual circuit, like a circuit board, which will allow us to do what we need to do. And that is a really cool play on
words. It's cool. It's like they have to bring limitless energy. I mean, almost certainly what's going to happen, it's going to be like a Full Metal Alchemist moment. You know, when you learn that a master is shaped like a giant transmutation girl. It's like they're going to look at the activated tracks and it's going to form an infinity symbol. And they're gonna do some fucking shenanigans with it.
Or some shit. Like, it'll certainly form something. But
right. It forms a cool S.
Yeah. As far as I know, the main thing about their plan is they're gonna milk all the people at the duel races.
We've never had a plot point revolving around milking people before.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
you know, milk all their duel energy.
Keeping in with the tradition of us not repeating ourselves ever.
This is the first time I ever talked about duel milk. Mm. I say, looking at my the print on the wall of Yubel holding duel milk.
Mm. Oh God.
So the next stone tablet falls to Earth. And
I love 2001 A Space Odyssey.
Yeah.
Right. It's Luciano's dual tablet we hear.
Yeah, yeah.
Crow tells the gang about it that, hey, one of them things fell to Earth again, so they all run over. Because, you know, Yusei's worried since the last time one of them showed up, Ghost appeared and started killing people.
Mm-hmm.
These two, I almost called them NPCs, because they have, like, very unique designs for, like, non-named side characters. It's like a hippie dude and this girl with like a huge afro. Like, these are Ace Attorney
they
side characters.
They did get names.
Did they?
They did. Not in this episode, but this is not the first episode.
Okay,
they've been. Maybe
all right.
you weren't there for that, but it's the boy is Bob.
The Luke and Lewis classmates.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, I'm talking about, this is when they're, like, outside of the crater. Like, there's these two random, like...
Oh, these... Yeah, oh, there's, yeah,
like,
yeah.
The guys two random, Crow, like, hippies.
Crow's talking to.
Yeah, yeah. Like, one looks like Lotta Hart from Ace Attorney.
Mm-hmm.
And they just say, oh yeah, security took the meteor away. It's gone. How do you transport something like that too, by the way? Like, that's a, how do you, is it just like when you like transport a fucking wind turbine blade?
We get to see a little bit of the abilities that the Illustari have in this episode. So
yeah, yeah.
In my opinion, as I'm pretty sure that like Jaeger has taken over security at this point, right?
Yeah, he's like, right, Godwin, like, too. He's like, yeah, he's their toady.
He's fully taken over, and he's their toady. So for me, it is not beyond the realm of possibility that they just teleported that shit.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we learned that they can make fucking hard light holograms, so...
Yeah. I mean, you know, he had to do it to him.
He literally had to do it to him.
I'm sorry, we're going to be saying... Max and I are going to be saying that a lot, at least the two of us. If not Dan as well, throughout this episode.
Listen, his name isn't Lucky Lester. I'll tell you that.
Lucky Lester. Lucky Lester is my favorite Super NES platformer.
God, yeah. It was originally an Amiga game.
Yeah.
Got ported over.
The gritty Xbox reboot Lester didn't really land for me.
Uh-huh. So, maybe for reasons that he didn't want it to look bad, like the optics look bad, because if he isn't a child, he certainly looks like one. Luciano is particularly interested in Luca,
right?
Of all of the signers. So basically, they were discussing. They're like, okay, all we have to do to shut down Crimson Dragon is shut down literally any single one of these dragons, and they're like all we need to do, what are the other names again?
Placido and Jose.
Right. So Placido's like, right. Placido is like, you know, we can, like, yeah, all we need to do is steal, like, Crystal Dragon and it's done. And, like, Luciano's like, okay, why are we going after Yusei, who's, like, objectively the best of all of these people? Like, if we just get any of the others, like, I'm going to go after Luca and get Age of Fairy Dragon, and then we do not have to worry about Crimson Dragon anymore.
Why go after Goku when you can go after fucking Yajirobe? Rest in peace, Akira Toriyama. Holy fuck.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So, Luciano becomes the world's most conspicuous transfer student.
All I could think of was the, and if you're not a Homestuck, sorry for this, it's, Sweepro and Helijeff introducing new friend Jeremy.
New friend Lester.
new friend Luciano.
Yeah, Luciano.
I guess he doesn't, like, use a fake name or anything.
I guess nobody knows who he is,
so he doesn't have to.
Right, he's the Illuminati.
So his name is Lester?
Lester, yes.
That's a bad name.
No, yeah, not very, doesn't inspire.
Not very intimidating. Their names are Lester, Jacob, and Primo.
Lester is a terrible name for this character.
Primo does fit, because that kind of keeps the whole, like, you know, Spanish-Italian theme initially.
Mm-hmm. And, like, Jacob is, like, enough of, like, a serious old man name.
Yeah, it's biblical.
Jacob with a K, I forgot to say.
Oh, Jacob.
Very old man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I will say Jacob with a K does hit more. And then, Lester. I mean, Lester's also, like, 3 feet tall, and so seems more like the odd one out of this group.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, Lester is, like, introduced as Duel Academia East Grand Prix victor, like the best racer duelist.
Yeah,
whatever,
he won like a special award or something. And
he won the presidential fitness test.
The president gave him an award,
that allows him to transfer here.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to look it up, but Leo immediately thinks, hey, I don't recall this guy winning that award.
Interesting.
That's weird.
That doesn't come up until, like, the very end of the episodes for us. He's just like, this guy sucks, I hate him, because everyone else...
He does,
like,
suck and he hates him, but he is suspicious from the start.
Everyone's, like, fawning over him, you know, Luca blushes when she sees him. And yeah, Lua hates him, and we, like, immediately cut to Lua getting his ass kicked in a duel by Luciano.
Yeah.
Of course, Luciano's Duel Illuminati.
He's good at dueling. And he just hates his ass for the rest of this. Oh, here we go. The Dual Prep Junior Grand Prix competition. Dual Prep Junior Grand Prix competition. Does that mean they got to, like, dueling go-karts or something?
That's all. No, you know what? They're all riding, like, fucking Barbie Jeeps. You gotta start them young.
Yeah.
Derek Zoolander's Dual Kart Grand Prix Association Award for kids who can't duel good. So, immediately after...
Unfortunately, in this society, that's actually a huge issue.
Fuck.
In a dual-based society, that is actually a major class issue.
After he beats Lua, he watches Luca duel, and the whole time he's just kind of like frowning and crossing his arms and not happy about it.
He's so mad at her.
Why didn't you crush him?
Yeah, he literally is like, "Are you sick?" And she's like, "What?" And he's like, "Why did that take so long? Why didn't you destroy that child immediately?" And she's like, "What?"
Yeah.
She's like, and he's like, "If you used your full skill, you would have been able to, like, end it in two turns." And she's like, "That was my full skill." And he's like, "All right, signer, keep your secrets."
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so she won't tell him shit. So, you know, he has to press on. We later see Luca. She and Lua head over to Popo Time to Yusei's garage, and Luca's just fawning and gushing about Luciano. Lua's just, you know, keeping his lid, pissed as hell.
Yeah, he thinks he's not too good.
Yeah.
This is the
specific part where Yusei's like, "Well, Luca, like, this guy must be really impressive if you're, like, I haven't seen you gush about this, like, this about many people. He must be really impressive." And Lua goes, "Or maybe he's just lucky." And I was like, "Lucky Luciano!"
Yeah.
I guess the next day at school, Luciano finds Luca and asks her to come to his house after school. And Lua steps in, refuses, like, "No, me and Luca are one, and I say we're not going."
Yeah.
Which, first of all, a little rude, a little mean.
Yeah. He's basically just, like, assuming the authority over her. Mm-hmm. Just saying she doesn't want to go, so we're going now.
He's the boy.
Every Yu-Gi-Oh! Series has to have one overprotective little big brother, I guess.
Yeah.
Siblings are a big part of this show, I gotta say.
Yeah.
You got Jinouchi, you got, what's his face? Asuka's brother.
We've got Zane, Seto Kaiba. We've got...
No, well, I was specifically thinking about for female characters.
Fuck, what's his name?
Asuka's brother.
Yeah, fucking...
Fubuki,
I don't think Fubuki's, like, overprotective of her, though.
What? Yeah. Yes, he is. Are you kidding?
Maybe at first he is. I feel like he definitely loosens up over time.
Yeah.
Then again,
he mostly just wants Alexis to be part of his family band or whatever.
Yeah, he like, gets flanderized over time a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
He's a great character, but I do like GX. Luciano tricks Lua into, like, splitting off from Luca, though, by disguising himself as a teacher and just telling him that he has to stay after school.
Okay.
To which Lua doesn't balk at all. He's just like, "Yeah, okay." That's probably something I did.
We need to be clear about what we mean here by disguising himself as a teacher.
Oh, yes.
Because he shapeshifts.
He's got to destroy all humans, hollow Bob. He just it's like a hologram or something.
Yeah,
this scene
he has fucking... I mean, it's... Hey, you know what? This makes sense. This is like an evolution of Solid Vision, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. We have no idea how this works, Max.
He can just
All we
do
know
it.
Is it's just like holograms and stuff, as far as I can tell.
I thought that he could just do... I interpreted this as mystical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the whole... The magic thing is very hard to explain otherwise, right?
Yeah, there's like some sort of weird Magitek thing going on here.
Yeah.
And the fact that he can alter people's memories as well. Like, this is
right,
not...
Right, yeah, that's a fucked up thing, too.
This is not just hologram. Like, this is not a solid-state hologram. This is magically shape-shifting.
This is a known Illuminati technique.
He's a fae.
He's a fae.
We need to call the Knights Templar up, just like the McElroys did, so we can...
Yeah. This is a phone number you can call. And so he picks Luca up as she's, like, walking home alone from school in his big limo, and they drive off together. And we see Bob and...
You've got a fast car.
Yeah. I gotta take it to my hologram mansion. It's just Bob and their girl classmate who just say, that was Luca and Luciano. Anyway.
Yeah,
so in the dub, I assume you brought this up because I showed what happens in the dub. In the dub, Bob has like a little squiggle like MS painted onto his face. And apparently Lester signed his face because he was so into whatever Lester's like dueling accolades are. It's weird joke, but
I don't... Why they do that?
Also, that is clearly not Lester. It says Cece.
It's a doctor's signature.
That's not an L, though. That is at best an O.
It looks a squiggle.
It's like a sideways tornado.
It says Cece.
Because he was in the mood for some mediocre pizza.
Yeah, Trans Luciano headcanon. He still forgets pizza. He still writes his dead name sometimes.
Oh my god. We see Lua, who's just sitting in class, and then he sees the teacher there. He's like, "Hey, why am I here?" She's like, "Oh, you can go home. Why are you still here, bud?"
So he loses it. Going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have like a special little like gag background for this.
It's cute. It's silly. And Luciano takes Lua to his cool mansion. We see Placido, who's here, disguised as a butler.
Yeah.
So he's also just like getting into the fray.
Mm-hmm.
Is he still calling Primo?
I think it is still Primo. They don't seem to be going by alternate names or anything.
Right.
Of course, Leo like shows up, he hops the fence. Primo is like watching through some security cameras. At one point he's like sneaking behind a bush. That's pretty good. And it turns out, the ambiguous thing that Lester wanted to show Luna is a dual skateboard. It is a two-wheeled skateboard. Like if you like just tore the handles off a scooter.
Oh man, dual scooters would be cool too.
Yeah. And apparently you can rig it so that it like works with your dual disc.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is cool. I mean, fucking, what a cool move to be like, "Hey, I got something to show you after school," and you invite a girl over and you just like show her how you can do a kickflip. Fucking ballsy.
I mean,
he can do more than a kickflip. He's grinding rails. He's doing vert stuff.
I mean, not gonna lie, if I was like a 13-year-old girl, that would be extremely compelling.
Yeah, true. Yeah. That's like the fucking perfect pickup for people our age. He like gives her a skateboard. He's like, "Hey, this is for you. Like, it's built to match your body type. I want you to duel me on it."
Oh my god.
Strange.
It's called a dual board.
I don't think he gives it a proper noun for us. I think he's just like,
he's like, "You can duel me on this. Here, I'll show you how it works. It's super cool."
Yeah. Lua runs off while Luke is like trying to learn to skateboard. And Luciano and Placio are like, you know, they're watching her do it. They're trying to see like if her signer powers are going to activate at all. And then Lua runs over. Oh, and Lua like snuck to the mansion and like watched this happen. And like Luciano and Placido knew he was there. And, you know, that was kind of I guess it wasn't like not necessarily part of the plan, but they're like, "Yeah, whatever. He's not going to really affect this at all.
He's literally irrelevant."
He runs to Yusei and is like, "Can you build me a fucking dual skateboard in one day?" And Yusei says, "Absolutely, I can."
Yeah.
Yusei's like, "Yeah, this is kind of garbage. I can do this out of spare parts."
Yeah, what? It's like a tiny bike? Fucking easy, dude.
It's like a bike, but small. Yeah,
it's like sure. It's like a tiny. Yusei, can you build me a small flat bike?
Yeah, a bike for 8-year-olds.
Can you build me
for
a
little
small
boys.
Flat bike? Can you build me a small flat bike for my feet? He does it, And, you know, if Luca the next day is like, hey, can Luca
I also want to say that, like, he's showing, like, Jack and Yusei are both there while he's, like, drawing this diagram of what this looks like. And Jack's like, actually, that's a pretty good idea.
Yeah, Jack's into it.
Jack's like, that's smart. I'm not going to lie. Which I liked.
It's nice.
It lets you do a turbo duel if you're too young to get your license.
Yeah. And you gotta wear your helmet and pads.
You have to.
Yeah. And Lua's like learning how to skate on this thing. He is skating like he, you know, every time he wipes out, he imagines Luciano laughing at him, so he, you know, keeps on persevering because he wants to be cool as hell. And then he runs into Luca, who is also like practicing. And they're fucking practicing, like, on the edge of a highway. Like, there's cones, and then, like, a drop. Like, why are they here? This is a fucking terrible place to practice on a wheeled vehicle that you are learning how to control.
It's all part of the experience, I guess.
It seems a little dangerous to me. Uh-huh. I don't know. I guess they're in, like, a Tony Hawk custom map. You just put, like, a highway up on the fucking, and it's like, call it a day. And the whole bottom is punji pits.
Yeah. You just like spawn back at the fucking road.
Exactly.
And it like gives you a mean insult.
It's the old adage. You either skate or you die.
You skate or you die, dude.
You either skate or you die.
Yeah.
Luciano drops in. Lou and Luca don't realize it's Luciano. I, a 30-year-old man, realize it's Luciano.
Uh-huh.
It's insane that they don't realize it's Luciano, honestly.
Yeah,
but like,
yeah. He doesn't disguise his voice at all.
Like, particularly Lua, who, like, already hates this guy and is super suspicious of him. Like, Luca, I'll give because she's sort of, like, naively into Luciano at this point. But, like, for someone, like, fucking Lua, who, like, hates this guy, it's like, you really should have figured this out.
Right. Uh-huh. Yeah, this bros doesn't even know thy enemy.
Uh-huh.
cringe and, fail. Yeah. Duel disc is like Luciano's duel disc is like weird. It's like a fucking like it looks like it's made of hard light, almost like the cards are suspended from like a kind of like light laser curve.
Yeah, it's kind of glowing. It looks like it's made up of a shower curtain accessory or something. And
it does look like a shower curtain, doesn't it?
Yeah, and they get to do a turbo duel.
Yeah,
we get them the authorizing turbo duel, authorization granted. And I'm just really curious, like, is there like a guy there who has to like sign off on this?
I don't know.
He spoofed the signals to make it seem like they're actual D wheels.
I do think that the concept of like government mandated PvP zones is extremely funny.
It is. It's government. It is.
like we already had this beforehand, where like by activating Speed World, you made everything around you a PvP zone. But the fact that it's like government mandated now is just extremely good and funny.
Uh-huh. It's great. And it's like a 2-on-1 duel where it's like Lua goes, Luciano goes, Luca goes, Luciano goes, so back and forth. So kind of, I mean, even though it's 2-on-1, it feels like super stacked in Luciano's favor
because Luciano does beat their ass. Sorry, spoilers for the next episode, but Luciano does absolutely beat their asses.
Honestly, it's really refreshing finally getting someone to lose a duel in this show.
I know. I'm sad that it had to be Luca.
It had to be an inconsequential character.
Who I think has been, like, propped up basically as, like, by far the weakest signer. Like, she barely she's barely even able to, like, hold her own without Lua. And, like, this just reinforced that, right? That she's not even a person sort of in a duelist in her own right. That she is part of a pair, and that a pair that is incomplete without both of them. And that's kind of a shame. I wish it had been, like, Crow or Jack. I know it wouldn't be Yusei, because Yusei can't lose.
Yeah, Yusei can't lose.
I do think it was as nice as it was to see one of the main characters lose. I am sad that it had to be Luca.
Yeah.
Because he's just a guy. So they're dueling. It's exactly the same as any other duel, right? It's just they're on skates instead. And they're just kind of like going. They don't have to like push off or anything like that. But what is Luciano's like strategy even here? Like, this is, I watched this duel yesterday and I can like barely remember what happened in it.
He's playing basically an Exodia strategy. He is playing a strategy where his trump card is like primary monster or whatever is a monster that combines from five separate monsters, a la Exodia. It doesn't end the duel immediately, obviously, a la Exodia, but like that is his strategy. And like I tried to count the number. I was like, I'm trying to figure out at some point how much of his deck is just different versions of,
right? Because we thought about this when you say dueled ghosts too, of like how much of your deck is like level one, level three, level five, right, versions exactly of your arms and legs.
Exactly. So it is.
I mean, wait, isn't there not technically a limit on how big your Yu-Gi-Oh deck can be?
It's 60 now.
Right. Oh, yeah, because those German guys did the
because of the coffins. Yes.
2,222 cards.
Because of the deck coffin.
Was. Uh-huh. Right.
But I'm not sure that that was in place when this aired. But so, right? Like most people cap out around 40 to 50.
Mm-hmm.
Because more than that makes it harder to actually get the specific cards you're looking for. But like, mm-hmm, I mean, if there's five monsters that make up this one monster.
Yeah.
And you have three copies of at least three copies of each of those that we saw, mm-hmm, then that's 15 cards out of your deck immediately that are just this monster.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Anyway. They're dueling. This one, the first one was Wyzel that Placio had. Luciano has, it should be Skiel, I guess. He calls it Skiel.
Skiel, yeah.
They pronounce it like that in the dub as well.
But like they call it like, it's like Sky Core, Sky Attacker. So I don't know why the main robot isn't Skiel instead of Skiel, but he's Skiel.
Oh, really? In the version, I think you may be using the official translations for the cards because all the ones I had in my fan sub were Skiel.
Okay, all right. Yeah, I'm curious to know. Actually, I'll look it up later and then we'll find out. But yeah, it's cool. It's not as cool as Wyzel, I think. Like the color scheme's not as neat to me.
It's a big owl robot.
It's like a weird fucked up like bug bird thing, but not very buggy.
Mostly bird, mostly owl.
Mostly owl. Oh, you know what? Okay, I figured it out. They are all like Skiel Carrier, Skiel Attacker. I think I just wrote it wrong in my notes. LOL. Right. But yeah, you know, he does a cool combo to like destroy everything on the field, and as we know, the Mech Lords like combine together from the graveyard if they're all destroyed, and that's how you get it out. And that's kind of where the first episode ends.
Yeah.
I don't really have anything more. It's fine.
You want to talk about video games?
I would love to talk about videos games.
Yeah, I bet you would.
Funny Fantasy 7. Hey, this game is pretty good. I'm not really like a Final Fantasy 7 guy.
Really? Are you not now?
I would say like the game is like my least favorite of the PS1 Final Fantasies.
Mm-hmm.
But oh my god, Rebirth is just fucking, it is so much fun. It it kind of baffles me that a game that has been like bloated and stretched out this much, like so far expanded beyond like how much of this was in the original game, it doesn't really feel overdone most of the time. Sometime a little bit, I'm like, this is feels a little like superfluous. But for the most part, it is just a freaking wonderful adaptation of everything that happens in 7. It's like, you know, this is the middle part of 7. This is after you leave Midgar and you're wandering the actual world map. I'm at the Gold Saucer. So I'm like about, I guess, like halfway-ish, if I remember right.
Right.
And it is delightful. It's so fun. They like revamped combat. There's a lot more options to do now. You get these cool like unison attacks where after characters have used a certain number of moves, they have enough like pips on their meter. You can do a combo move with someone else, and everyone is able to get like refocus, which is kind of like gives you more ATB meter. I think everyone or most people are able to get one that like gives you limitless MP for a while. But then there's some like cool unique ones, like Aerith and Barret get one where Aerith puts on a pair of sunglasses like Barret and they just like start fucking blasting.
That sounds great.
It's really cool. Red 13 is so fun to play as. He's like a Dark Knight almost. His whole thing is like defending and building up his vengeance meter when he like blocks attacks, and then he activates vengeance and he's, you know, he hits harder and moves faster and can use more moves. Yuffie is pretty much unchanged from how she was in the DLC, and I haven't gotten to play as Ketchy yet, but that's hopefully is more fun than the original game. I mean, I could talk about this forever, but like the other big thing I just want to say, they made a big deal of saying that they recorded over 400 new tracks for this game. And you can hear pretty much like all the original songs from Remake in this at certain parts as well. This soundtrack, it is genuinely like on another level. I'm having so much fun just listening to everything. Every area has a unique battle theme, and they do this really, really cool thing where it is dynamic adaptive music. So whenever you get into battle, the battle version of the main theme plays, it like kind of, you know, picks up at the exact same part in the melody. And it plays that, and then when you beat the battle, like the battle music fades out, and then the main melody of the song picks up where the battle music faded out. So it's completely seamless. And like, you know, that means you don't hear the da 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 da, but you hear that when you do like arena fights and whatever. And just all the different versions of character themes and the leitmotifs that are like mixed into all the different areas when you're meeting them. Like I'm hanging out with Tifa at the Golden Saucer, so the game is playing. The game is playing the Golden Saucer theme, but it like has parts of Tifa's theme mixed into it. It is delightful. And I mean, you know, coming from someone whose favorite part of video games is the music of it, this is just an absolute treat. Like, I don't want to say it's my game of the year so far, because I've played literally 3 new games this year, but like...
Uh-huh. And they were all bangers.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I played Balatro, Yakuza, and this, and like all 3 are just like, wow, I wouldn't be surprised if any of these are like in my top 5, but it's just delightful. It's so much fun. It's cool. Sephiroth is there. What more do you need? Popcorn Dan.
All right. I'm still playing Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth, but I think right now I want to focus on a different game that I've been playing lately. It's Helldivers 2.
I've heard of
this. Hey.
Yeah. I think they've dealt with their server issue. I haven't run into much problem. I did have this weird thing where I couldn't update for a while. I had some trouble like updating it. I had to like delete this folder that was being used for like the anti-cheat thing. And then it like reinstalled everything and worked properly. It was really weird, but that's beside the point. Helldivers 2. It is the Amerifascist future, you are an 18.5-year-old who has joined the Helldivers, a division of the Super Earth Armed Forces. Your task is to go into planets controlled either by bugs or robots and liberate them. It's very Starship Troopers, and very Starship Troopers in a way that I feel like it gets it. I think lately in the past, I think when it comes to adapting either Starship Troopers or the other or another like Paul Verhoeven action classic RoboCop, people tend to like forget what they forget the satirical elements or just focus on like the action stuff. But this one, it fucking gets it. There's some real bangers in this one. In terms of like jokes about American dystopia, there's like a fucking line. Whenever you're like in the lobby, there's this TV that will like occasionally play a PSA, and one of them's like, "The Terminants will stop at nothing, and the only way to defeat them is," and it shows like this fucking bug getting stabbed by a bar graph, "is a strong economy." spend your money now. It's incredible stuff. There's the way it so Helldivers is the sequel to a twin stick shooter, but this is a third person shooter that somehow transfers over a lot of the mechanics in really well. The main thing is stratagems. You like pull out like your fucking forearm panel or forearm button thing and just like mash in a combo to summon things like airstrikes, heavy weapons, drones, etc. It's fun to play. The community, well, you know,
it's like the Fallout community. Oh, Liberty Prime's like based.
They'll play, like, in action when you are playing the game. I gotta say, a lot of the people I've run into while playing the game are pretty alright. They're pretty helpful. You step outside that game and try to look up Helldivers Discord to, like, make a bug report or something, and you see I think you can make a reasonable assumption about what these sorts of people are like.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Just very obnoxious.
They truly get it.
they do not get it.
I love gamers.
Or they get it and don't care. But in any case, Helldivers 2, great game, highly recommend it. Popcorn Audrey.
So, I'm gonna be pretty quick today because I'll talk about the game that I have that I did just replay in a second, but I have downloaded but not started playing yet Nier Automata.
Oh. Let's go.
Yeah.
So that'll be something I assume I'll be talking about for a good few weeks.
Yeah, what if a robot had a fucking killer ass?
I was about to say a pussy.
What too.
What if they made a sexual robot? That's what I want to know.
So I will be playing that in a bit. But in the meantime, after finishing Final Fantasy X, which I did finish.
Oh.
I just did a very quick replay of Never Alone or Kisame Inginchuna. Which is a very cool game that I like very much.
I know this yes. one. It's
let me look this up.
So it is
the one with the fox, right?
Yes, it is one with the fox. So it is developed by an Inupiaq developer, and it is an Inupiaq story, which is an indigenous people of the northwest Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And it's they're in Alaska, actually, so it's an indigenous mm-hmm. people of Alaska. It's a very short game. It's like 2.5 hours, but mm-hmm. it's very sweet and it's very cool to have this story. It's based on a story called Kunuk Sayuk. I'm sorry if I got that wrong, which is about this girl who finds an Arctic fox and is, like, trying to, like, make her way back after her village has been, like, ravaged by a blizzard. It's a very cool game. It's very cool to have indigenous voices making indigenous games. And it's very quick, and it's generally not that expensive. So, you know, if you haven't had a chance to play it, I do recommend picking it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right on.
All right.
That's us. But before we go on to the next episode, Dan would like to thank our $10 patrons.
Absolutely, I would.
Max assigned Patreon
That's
reader.
That's right. Gotta be fucking love ready to. For it.
I want to give a big thank you to Danielle Kalaskas, Dylan Orris, Jazz Dumpster, Keith Terradine, Maggie Rice, Nero Wyvern, Pagliacci Proto J, Quattra, Sabrina Steele, Sarvis, and Solid Snack. Thank you so much for your tens of dollars.
Hugs and kisses.
Genuinely, though, thank you so much. I hope what we're cooking up for you this year is going to make you happy.
It will. It better. It will. We know it will. Episode 78 of 5Ds, Resurrection of a Nightmare, Mechlord Emperor Skiel.
Mm-hmm. Season 2, Episode 14, Dawn of the Dual Board, Part 2.
Uh-huh, I forgot it was called that. We see Placido and Jose, like, watching the duel from their Organization 13 thrones. They have, like, the kind of, like, floor void-ish below them is just, like, you know, a big screen.
Mm-hmm.
Why am I getting a phone call? Hold on a second.
Turn that shit off!
Another missed call. Whatever.
Yeah, so...
This duel started and ends with Luciano fairly dominating it. We do get Luca able to do some damage to him here by summoning Fairy... Do you remember the card? That does, like, 800... That does 400 direct attack points for every fairy on the field.
I'm back. I don't remember the card either, though.
Okay.
Me neither.
Well, anyway, it's fairy something. Everything she has is a fairy.
Yep.
See you in hell, you stupid fruit. This particular card does... Oh, it's Fairy Archer. That's what it is. It does 400 attack points for every fairy on the field, so she has... She gets Ancient Fairy Dragon out pretty quickly.
Yeah.
I can't remember. She has Ancient Fairy Dragon out at this point when she summons...
With, like, pretty little fanfare. I always feel like I expect, like, more from Ancient Fairy Dragon because, like, she's had the most, like, story about her of all the dragons. Mm-hmm. But like, she just kind of shows up to get slurped up by Skiel.
Yeah, but before she does, she's there on the field along with Ancient Fairy Archer, so there's two of them, and Ancient Fairy Archer does 400 damage for every fairy, so she does 800 damage. And there's, like, this cloud of smoke that, like, appears around Luciano, and then he, like, comes through it, and he just looks back and goes, yeah, getting kicked in the dick was exactly what I wanted.
Yeah, when he's getting, like, shot in the back, he's like, ugh, it's fucking funny. It's fine, though. And this is, at this point, the rest of this... Oh, he literally says, I don't feel pain, which is curious to me.
Curious, and yet you participate in pain.
Yeah. The rest of the signers all show up here. Finally, I think for the first time ever this season, they're all together.
Yes.
And...
They've all felt it. Yusei and Jack went out first, but then, like, they're like... Jack's like, they're here, and, like, you behind them, you see Aki and Crow come up, and they're all big concerned about Luca.
Yeah. And Yusei sees the big robot and thinks, oh, no, this is part of, you know, this is a Mechlord. This is like a Wyzel. You know, this has something to do with Ghost. And at this point, Skiel activates his ability to absorb a Synchro Monster. So it does, like, slurp up Ancient Fairy Dragon, and Lua's like, oh, I remember what Yusei warned me about. He warned me that there's monsters that can destroy Synchro Monsters. Like, right now! And after Ancient Fairy Dragon gets fully absorbed, Luciano does, like, a fucking cool 180 off the side of the pipe, and as he skates by Lua...
Just to rub it in.
Yeah, just to rub it in. Lua's like, oh my god, that's Luciano!
Yeah, like, he passes by, and there's, like, the Kill Bill sirens. Like, as Lua looks at him and is like,
oh my God. It's fucking funny. Yeah, and once again, he says some cryptic shit about, like, making Luca draw a circuit. And then he attacks with his beefed-up Skiel. And she's, like, already, you know, getting pretty fucked. She's down to 350 life points, which, if it were anyone else dueling, would mean that she was going to win. But...
Uh-huh.
Not in this case.
Not this time. Not this time. Made it up.
Yeah, Luciano does a cool combo. I'm sorry. First, Lua is able to summon Power Tool Dragon, my best friend. Love this guy. And he does, like... He tries to do a combo where... He plays like this Deformer Vacuum card that can like equip itself onto a monster to take it out of play. And Luciano like plays a card that allows him to like use one of his cards in the graveyard as a target for it. So, you know, Lua's strategy is.
I have a lot of like logistical questions about this duel, for example. Sure. I guess, so first, I guess we just gave up on the losing 1,000 life points, like. Speed reduction. No, rule.
That's different. That's different. That was a speed world to run rule. This is no longer a rule in speed world 2.
Oh well, okay. Fair enough.
Actually, if you read the rules, Audrey.
Okay, don't you actually me?
on my own podcast.
I will never learn the rules of this game, and that is a promise. the other question I have is Lua uses a speed spell here, but doesn't use any speed counters. How does that work?
I don't think that you need to spend speed counters to use a speed spell. I think you just have to have a certain number of speed counters in order to use a speed spell. Because they spend speed counters to use like Speed World 2's effects. But I don't think, and maybe I'm wrong, and maybe someone should actually me now. But I don't think you, like, spend speed counters to use speed spells. I think you just have to have, like, a minimum number of them to use them.
Dropout, we are available for, actually guest spots, by the way.
Oh, my God. New season. That first episode was so great.
Sam Reich, if you're out there.
Yeah, please, Sam, hit us up. We're funny. We know about card games and not much else.
We're big nerds. We're big nerds. We're big
fucking nerds. Yeah,
we had an actual play podcast. Listen.
We're going to edit that final episode maybe. Someday.
Yeah, that'll happen. excuse me. So Luciano gets really, really pissed because Lua is able to use a card that like returns all equipped cards to their owners. And I got a little bit confused here, and I want to look this up because with Power Break, the way he explains it is that, like, it returns all equipped cards back to their owners and deals 500 damage to each... Oh, okay, I'm sorry. It inflicts a 500 damage to your opponent for each card returned. I thought it did 500 damage to, like, each person who gets their card back. So I was going to say, like, this would have taken Luca out of the duel, but... Yeah, Ancient Fairy Dragon returns, and the graveyard card that was equipped to the vacuum returns to Luciano, so he takes 1,000 damage from that.
I do want to, like, specifically note the music at this point. The track that is playing during this turn is insanely good. I don't think we've heard it before.
It's hard to find because, like, I don't know if the YouTube album just isn't complete or if I'm looking in the wrong place, but I feel like there are songs that I've heard in this season that, like, I haven't been able to find on YouTube because
a bunch of insert songs that are only there for, like, 30 seconds max that they just, like, did not put on the official... that like show up once or twice that they did not put on the official and I feel like this may be one of them, which is a shame because it goes hard.
It goes rather hard, it must be said.
Slapper's only Yu-Gi-Oh edition.
Oh man. Hey, I mean, look, here's the thing. It is developed by Konami, and like the Yu-Gi-Oh I mean I immediately went to the Yu-Gi-Oh video games that actually like I remember playing that have like fucking baller ass music. I mean, hell, even Duels of the Roses has killer music. Konami's music department, pretty damn good. Better than their management department.
The bar's on the ground.
the bar's underground. Luciano gets fucking pissed when Ancient Fairy Dragon gets returned. So he activates Speed World's effect to draw a card. And he flips Sky A3, which allows him to equip a new Skiel attack pod. And then, like, releases that attack pod to summon an even better attack pod. So he has, like, Skiel attack pod 5 on it. And it attacks Luca directly. And he's out of the duel. And he's, like... falling dead. Off the half. Yeah, he is dying. He's like falling into Big Blue right now.
He is falling at terminal velocity to his death.
Yes.
Welcome to Dragon Ex Machina.
Uh-huh. Yeah, this is, I mean, we knew we could do this. We knew that we could combine all of the signer sigils to summon the cheating shrimp, but we also have apparently learned now you can just summon the Crimson Dragon. You can just summon Big Daddy.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, they are all there.
They're all there. Yeah, it's true. I guess if you're closer, you can make a more powerful summon. And it just kind of like...
Yeah, he doesn't do much.
He shows up and puts Luca in a ball and saves him and then fucks off.
Which is enough, I guess.
Yeah, he's fine. He gets put to safety.
Thanks to your friendly neighborhood Crimson Dragon.
Thanks, Papa. And Luca's like, oh, I felt its heartbeat. I can do this. And she summons Regulus.
To be clear, though, Lua is out of the duel. He is dead and out of the duel.
He has lost the duel, and Luca has 350 life points remaining. So it's not looking good for her either. She basically uses a card after summoning Regulus in order to, like, remove Ancient Fairy Dragon and deal 2100 damage straight to Luciano. But he flips Infinity Force, which just sets damage to zero and destroys all of Luca's monsters. And then Scale directly attacks, and then, like, Luca also loses the duel in this moment, but she's, like, prevented from being blasted off the track by all of her, like, card spirits coming out and, like, blocking the beam. You fucking Jerry Beans man is there helping her. Like, he can hold it off by himself.
This, I mean, I'm glad she lost, but this moment really did feel like Luca saying, it's my duel, and Mom said it's my turn to cheat.
Uh-huh. Right. I mean, like, the way I see it is, like, this is not preventing her from losing, this is preventing her from dying.
Right. Exactly. No, 100%, which is why I'm, like, ultimately okay with it, but I was like, all right.
Yeah, 1-800, come on now.
Yeah.
And interestingly enough, Aki can see her card spirits, too. I don't remember if this is, like, because I don't think anyone can see them. Like, no, Yusei and Jack and Crow, I don't believe have ever been, like, shown to be able to see them. But Aki can, which is kind of cool. I mean, maybe it's because she's a psycho.
Happy International Women's Day.
Oh, the two women in the show, they can see the card spears. They're special. She loses. She skates to a stop and doesn't beef it, though. And yeah, she, like, thanks Regulus and the others for keeping her safe.
And it's so funny because, like, Luciano just, like, continues to go at speed, and he's so annoyed at her slowing down and stopping, but he just, like, glides off into the sunset.
Yeah, he's just gone. They go over to where the mansion was, and it's just an empty field.
Yeah, and then, like, Lou is so pissed off about this. He's like, I swear it was here. Luca, don't you remember being here? Luca's like, yeah, for sure. And then, is it in this scene or is it, like, another scene where, like, Bob shows up?
Yeah, it's this scene. It's this scene.
Yeah, so, like, you know, like, they see, they're in this park and, like, Bob is heading their way and Lou is like, okay, Bob will know, like, obviously, that he's like, Bob, don't you remember Luciano's mansion being here? And Bob's like, who? It's like, Luciano. He transferred yesterday? It's like, Trump, Luciano, what are you talking about? It's 2014. Come play Mario Kart 8 with us.
Yeah, I was just sick all week. It's normal.
Yeah, I'm feeling better now. And, you know, so mind wiped. Everyone forgets this. And then Yusei makes it about him. He's like, oh, I have to master XL Synchro so I can beat these fuckers. It's fun. It's cute.
Nice
episodes.
These were, I thought these were charming episodes.
I enjoyed them. Skating was very fun. You got anything else?
That's it for me.
Yeah. It was a nice episode. It gave me, like, shoujo vibes. Shoujo villain of the week vibes.
Yeah. It's cute.
Yeah, I think what you said about it feeling like Sailor Moon really resonates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And now it's time for questions. You can go to Twitter at Pod of Greedcast. You can go to podofgreed.tumblr.com. You can go to our Millennium Bag Discord channel and ask us questions. We make a post every week. And we got some fun ones. Audrey, do you want to take questions this week?
Sure, I'd love to.
I thought we do not have any on Twitter, so.
Okay, fantastic.
Except for the thing that you said.
What I said was that this dude's proportions are really not doing it for me.
Yeah, he's a little Wind Waker-y with it. With, like, really big arms.
It's Dino Morbin time, Sam asks. You skate or you die. How confident are you in your ability to learn a basic skating trick in, let's say, an hour or two before you are killed in some kind of weird death trap? It would really depend on how basic we're talking here.
Right. Yeah. Like, I think...
Do I think that I could, like, comfortably, stably move myself forward and, like, down a hill, yes. Like, down and up a hill or something like that? Like, through, like, not just flat terrain? Yes.
See, I was going to go a different direction. I don't want to be on a slanted terrain at all. I think I could learn a kickflip in, like, 2 hours.
You have an hour. Oh, no, sorry, hour or two. You're right.
Hour or two. Yeah, no, I'm going to need full time. I think if I spent 2 hours just doing nothing but that, I might be able to, like, robotically pull off a kickflip.
Maybe.
That's like, that is the absolute upper limit of what I could do in 2 hours. Because I don't need to know how to skate forward. Like, you know, just put me on the skate. I'm not going to be moving. I will just do a stationary kickflip.
I think that's I could learn I how to move to forward and how to, like, direct myself.
Yeah. An ollie, perhaps.
That's not really a trick. Dan?
It's a trick if you don't know how to skate, like me. Dan, what's your trick of choice?
I mean, it's going to be a kickflip, you know?
Hell yeah. We'll learn the kickflip together or we'll, I guess, die.
Yeah.
Skate or you die.
Yeah, I picked the latter.
It's the quintessential skating trick. I'm kind of a poser, but, you know, at least I'll spend an hour trying a kickflip.
Yeah.
I love this saw trap. Mm-hmm. Keith or Teradyne asks, okay, so we have a 5Ds racing game, but how about a 5Ds Tony Hawk Pro Duelist? And what's the sickest move you can pull off in that game?
Uh-huh.
Oh, man.
So.
Oh, man.
I'm assuming these are on dual boards, or we're getting like some Dave Mirra shit with the dual runners.
No, it's definitely dual boards. Mm-hmm.
So I have actually played exactly one skateboarding game in my life, and it was the skateboarding mini game in Spyro: Year of the Dragon.
Uh-huh.
Oh no.
And the most heavy points you could get was a trick called the Nasty Gnork.
Yeah, like a Nasty Gnork.
And so that, the Nasty Gnork.
You do the Nasty Gnork.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And then you get a dragon egg. Because Hunter's so impressed with your sick tricks.
He loves your cool fucking tricks. I'm trying to think. I play a lot of the Tony Hawk games. It wouldn't be a trick. It'd be like one of those like sort of contextual like, area dependent things, like, you know, where you like jump certain gaps or like trick up against a certain surface and it'll be like, oh, and like the font color changes and you get a weird thing. Uh-huh. It'd be like jumping over like Luca and Lewis pool in that level.
Yeah a nice gap trick.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm trying to think of a fun place to well, obviously you gotta do like Duel Academy school too.
Yeah campus, exactly.
Yeah. There's probably something you can do to like find like a secret path to like the like fucking dueling ziggurat from
fucking Godwin's Illuminati tower.
Yeah, there's a secret path you can take to get there.
You can skate in the fucking tunnel connecting Satellite and Domino from season one.
Uh-huh.
This is a cool game.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Next up, from Shadow Sandbag, what is your favorite song from the N64 version of Tony Hawk Pro Skater 3? If you have not listened to that specific version of the soundtrack, let's just say it's unique.
I'm looking this shit up.
So, as a good friend of Patrick, who sent in this question, I'm going to have to, like, provide a little bit of context for both you two and the listeners. Mm-hmm. Our mutual friend, Malice, played a lot of the N64 version of Tony Hawk Pro Skater 3. Now, keep in mind, Tony Hawk Pro Skater 3 came out, it was primarily a PS2 game, but it did also come out on older consoles. Mm-hmm. And the N64 is not quite up to snuff against a PS2, so they needed to do some tricks to incorporate the licensed soundtrack. So what they did was they, as I understand it, they like made They made like the they made like an audio track and sound effects that were the lyrics, but they couldn't really get all the lyrics. The example Malice provided us was for the song Ace of Spades. You know, if you like to gamble, the Ace of Spades or whatever.
Yeah, Joker.
Yes. Specifically, it just sort of like has the do 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 and the rest of the song is just like the instrumental track with occasionally sparsed in, occasionally just popping in, and don't forget the Joker.
Thank you, Lemmy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like Ace of Spades by way of tequila.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's funny. I mean, it's gotta be that, although I do see that Blitzkrieg Bop was on here, so I like to imagine it is literally just,
yeah,
let's go, for 3 minutes straight.
Mm-hmm. It has to be that, yeah.
That's funny. I like that. Mm-hmm. That's a cool story.
I'm going with that because I don't know shit about this soundtrack.
I don't immediately recall all the tracks on 3, and I certainly only know the one that, Malice told us about.
It is If You Must by Del the Funky.
Oh, yeah. I mean, If You Must is my favorite in, like, the regular, in the PS2 version of Tony Hawk Pro Skater 3. Although they do censor a line, unfortunately. It's a really good song, though.
Ace of Fate by Motorhead. Cut Chemist Suite by Oza Motley. Blitzkrieg Bop by The Ramones. Not the Same by Body Jar. And Wish by Alien Ant Farm.
Uh-huh.
Fucking great.
Banger soundtrack.
Pretty good.
Okay, from Kirby the Cleric. When I was in third grade, there was a European transfer student whose name I don't remember, who didn't speak very much English at all, but was very nice, and one time I saw them at a theme park during summer vacation, and I think we waved at each other, maybe. Anyway, how are they doing now? Are they living their best life? That would be nice.
They're dead.
Oh, no!
Sorry. Sorry I had to tell you this.
Not like this.
They're a spy for the Belarusian government.
They died in a saw trap.
No. They couldn't learn how to kickflip in 2 hours.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I'm sorry. Oh, this is just how it had to go.
You have to learn. You have to take up their board in their honor. Really.
Yeah, you have to defeat Jigsaw.
You have to defeat Jigsaw
in a duel.
Okay. And our last question this week from Dark Arm Dad Tequila Zaku: if Lou and Luca had a bike, who'd be riding front and who'd be riding back? Alternatively, who would be stuck in the sidecar?
I gotta imagine a sidecar situation, and Leo is in the sidecar.
Yeah, yes. Luca is the first to get her license, if only because she's more responsible.
Yeah, she's more competent.
Uh-huh.
Lua would consistently fail. He'd be like SpongeBob, right? He wouldn't be able to pass his boating exam.
Classic
dual
blunder.
Dual boats. How do we
dual
feel?
Dual boats. I mean, we've seen boats on duels. I could see a speedboat duel, a cigarette boat duel.
Yeah, a catamaran duel.
Hmm. Oh, has there ever been like a duel on a gondola? I think that's what they called.
That's a good question. I don't know if there has been. That seems like a pretty appropriate place to have a duel, though. Like,
By gondola, do you mean like a Venetian one, or do you mean
Oh, I was thinking cable car.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask.
Definitely not
going to
duel on a gondola. Mm-hmm. But I feel like a cable car is more likely to duel on than a little funny Italian boat.
I feel like there's definitely been cable car stuff in the show before, but I don't remember.
You're thinking about House? Is that cable car or is that Scrubs?
You're thinking about The Fray?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Over My Head?
Right.
Oh, was it not cable car?
You lose the argument in a cable car?
No, okay.
I feel like I've lost this.
What the fuck just happened there? Sorry, I got my The Fray songs confused with my doctor show. That's been us, though.
What a powerful way to end this particular episode.
Something happened to me. Well, we've been Pot of Greed. You can find us online on Twitter at Pot of Greed Cast, potofgreed.tumblr.com, on Discord at joeywheeler.dog or kaiba.online, and, you know, co-host, and Blue Sky at Pod of Greed as well, though I don't think we've really put much stuff up there. You can go to patreon.com/podofgreed, where at the $1 level you can subscribe and you can get access to our entire bonus feed, including Let's Play VODs of Duelist of the Roses, shows that Sarah's worked on, Fast and Furious movies, Minions movies. There's a lot of fun stuff there.
Yeah.
At the $5 level, you got all that. You're able to listen on episodes as they recorded, and you get your name shouted out at the end of the episode, such as...
Cypress, Emery, Joelle Thomas, More Conting the Morgue, Riley Hopkins, Shadow Sandbag, and Sylvia Crow. Thank you so, so much, you guys.
Thank you very much. New patron. Hello, Cypress.
Yeah. Great tree.
Great tree. Good tree. Good pick.
Yeah.
At the $10 level, you get all that. You get all your name. You get your name shouted out in the middle of the episode, and you get a yearly care package, which we're cooking up. Stay tuned.
Yeah.
That's our show plugs. I've been Max. You can find me on Twitter at Maxi Bajillion, Tumblr at Maxi Bajillion as well. My other shows are on hiatus because I got a lot going on, but those are Wow Cool Robot about Mobile Suit Gundam, Nevermind the Trollocs about Amazon's Wheel of Time, and Slappers Only about video game music. Popcorn, Audrey.
I'm Audrey. You can find me on Tumblr, Twitter, co-host, and Blue Sky at Optimum and Prime. That's my funny robot internet joke. If you want to know more about that, you should listen to the other podcast I do. It's called Prime Cuts, and it's about Transformers. We're in the middle of Earthspark, which is a series that makes me go absolutely nuts. It's the first time I'm watching it, and it bangs so fucking hard. I've also been cast in a radio drama with Sarah that hopefully we'll have more information on soon. And fuck it, I just posted it today, a couple hours ago. If you like Dungeon Meshy, I just posted some porn about it. So cool. you could go read that on Archive of Our Own.
Who's it feature?
Chilchuck and Senshi.
That's fucking right. Hell yeah.
Where can I find this on AO3 or should I, if or is this a if you know you know sort of thing?
No, go for it. It's called Hard to Let Go.
Hard to Let Go. Got it.
Pretty good.
I've also posted it on all of my socials, so if you follow me on Twitter or Tumblr, you'll be able to find the link very easily there.
So,
Dan, what's up with you?
Yeah. You can find me at a lot of places. You can find all those places at biggerchallenge.card.co. That includes The Sonic Hustle, a Sonic Games and Media podcast. Recorded an episode last night. We're talking about Sonic Adventure 2's Dark Story. Turns out might go through it a little quicker than we thought. I'm deciding if we want to just like incorporate, if we just want to do the end of it and the last story in one episode or not. You can listen to Video Games, the Movie, the Podcast, Video Game Movie Podcast I do with my friend Maxi, where working on a Mega Man fan film episode. Interesting movie. Check it out. There's Tumblr, co-host. That's Bigger Challenge and Big Challenges, respectively. On YouTube, I've got my Small Saga Let's Play steadily going. We're recording this on Friday. An episode went up earlier today. You can check that out now. We've got 9 episodes so far, probably more to come soon. And hey, if Audrey's going to shout out something like that, I'll shout out my Fur Affinity, furaffinity.net/user/big challenges. You can see things I've commissioned, including things that are stuff like my OCs, my fursona, just all the different art I've commissioned that I'd like to share with the world. Some of it isn't explicit.
and it's your quest to find out what is and what isn't.
Well, they're all tagged. I've
ever heard a gallery described.
Yeah. Honestly, it's kind of a 50-50 mix. There's probably more non-explicit art here, actually. But check it out. You want to see a big, sexy ant woman? I've got you covered. Max, go ahead.
Righteous. No, I already went. We're gone. Oh. We're done. We're good.
Oh, okay.
We're putting ourselves face down and posting porn on the internet.
I sat myself face down as I sketch a car around Boston. Mm-hmm. It's probably a level.
Yeah, Boston's in Underground 2.
Hell yeah.
I set my cards face down, and if you have been paying attention to how I've been playing so far, then surely you realize that I'm about to play the Joker. Don't forget the Joker.
Peach.
Peach.